Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air right here at SoxTalk.com. I am Myers Cleese coming to you from the city of Chicago. And out west is Jason Gage in California. What's up, Jace?
What's up, Mario? Fairweather fan that you are, I'm very disappointed. You only watched 3 innings of the game.
I have a good excuse.
yeah, that you're a sissy. You were watching the women's basketball on ESPN, which took
They said the game was on ESPN. I watched it.
Did any of them pull off a slam dunk for you?
No. That's a little too hard for them.
Now, ESPN has issues. I have no idea why women's basketball gets the Prime HD channel while Major League Baseball and the defending world champs are stuck on ESPN2.
But it is a tournament, though, so...
Isn't it all about the ratings? I'm pretty confident that the ratings of Major League Baseball opening day are greater than the NCAA women's basketball tournament.
But does Title IX extend into television?
Title IX has nothing to do with Major League Baseball, though. I think next is we're going to be seeing, like, the NCAA tournament on ESPN, and then we're going to have, like, dodgeball on ESPN, the Ocho.
You know what? I think you're spoiled. You're a spoiled, rotten kid. I couldn't even watch the game. I was only able to watch the first 3 innings because Chicago's got to be windy. The freaking wind took out my satellite dish. So I wasn't able to watch the whole game.
I thought it was just because you're a fair weather fan, and when the weather turned bad, you just said, oh, that's it. I'm going to go watch the Cubs game.
As soon as they blew that lead, they were up 3-0. They just gave up 3 runs. That was just awful. Teams don't do that. Teams should never do that. That's just terrible. That's why
exactly.
I stopped watching, in all reality. No, but I was only able to watch the first 3 innings, and then when the rain delay came, I had to come back home, and I was just watching it through Yahoo, through the game channel. But it was funny because when Tomy hit the homer, I hear the fireworks because I'm not too far away from the park. I hear the fireworks, but I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know, who hit the homer, obviously. So, very confusing for me. But
I just thought your mom said it was too late. It was past your bedtime, so you had to go to sleep.
Not on Sundays. On opening day, I get an extended career. You know what? When I was a kid, though, I would only miss really one day of school a year, and it would be opening day. That would be the only day I would not go to school. I would just skip. I would call in. I would call school and just say, I'm not showing up. I'm sick. And I would stay home and I'll watch opening day. Only day
and
I
no
would
wonder.
Miss.
It explains so much. It explains why you're on the show talking to me right now. God.
Is it a knock on you or a knock on me?
I think I just slammed both of us.
Okay, good job. Did you watch the opening day ceremony, though?
Of course not. I was busy stuck with ESPN pregame on the stupid listening to Joe Morgan and John Miller yap about God knows what and about Barry Bonds and everything but the opening day ceremony,
Wait,
which would have been nice to be televised.
So they showed them in the booth?
Yeah.
But then,
and then
they
had the ESPN. You had Krucky predicting the White Sox. You had Harold Reynolds predicting the White Sox World Series.
Now, I could see if they had something on prior to the game, and then once 7 o'clock hit, they put the game on. But if they were doing pregame coverage, how can you not do the ceremony?
Because we're not the Yankees or the Red Sox. Not yet, at least.
They would have had a reality show for the Red Sox. Or actually, they probably did, because they won it.
They would have probably had an hour segment, just have the videotape on Johnny Damon's long hair and beard and going, is he going to cut it this season?
You know what?
We don't know.
Now that we're just bitching about ESPN, I went to the main MLB page yesterday, and all I seen was just a big special on the Yankees and how a couple of the writers predicted that they were going to win the World Series. And it was, what the hell was the thing they were saying? I completely forgot, but it just had this big old picture of the Yankees. It took off maybe like 50% of the website. Ugh. Anyway, the ceremony, I don't know if you've seen it. I thought it was a pretty cool ceremony. They threw it on the 4 big banners in the outfield. I don't know why they had 4. I mean, I know they haven't really won anything in a long time, but I'm not sure why they needed 4. They needed to say the division, and then the American League Championship, and then the World Series, and then the 1917 World Series, which you really don't know about for some reason.
Hey, I thought it was when the Cubs won the World Series, but that was 1908.
We're preparing for the show, and you're like, I thought it was 1907 that they last won.
It's all right. I just blame Canada. It's all their fault.
But
they're
after
just giving me the wrong information.
But after the ceremony, the game was starting, and it was thought throughout the whole week it was going to rain on Sunday. It was going to rain on Sunday, and it was going to rain hard at some point. Really not sure when, but it was going to rain hard, and the game was going to be delayed. And the game was delayed for, what?
2 hours, 57 minutes, and then the game was played for like 2 hours and 59 minutes.
The game ended, what, 1 o'clock or near it?
Well, it's like nice and about right about 11 o'clock for me.
Well, yeah,
it was quite nice.
It was 1 a.m. here. But if they're going to go out there and they're going to have these opening days in cities like Chicago and Cleveland and Baltimore, I don't agree with it. But if you're going to do that, shouldn't they maybe have a day game to maybe give them a little more time in case weather does get a little crappy?
It makes sense, but this was the whole thing about getting the World Series champions the opening day game. And actually, I think there was a switch that was made because last year, near the end of the season, as an Angel season ticket holder, we got information pretty much that said that the Angels were going to be opening against the Yankees, and it was going to be the opening day game.
The Sox,
and then all of a sudden, it kind of switched over to the Sox.
Yeah, the Sox were scheduled to start their season on Monday, and then they ended up switching. Because I know I have a 2006 schedule from way back. It didn't even have the TV schedule set up. It just has the times, and it actually had Monday originally. Then they switched it to Sunday because, you know, they won the World Series and they're facing Indians, so it's a great way to kick off the season. But still, not to say it can't rain elsewhere, but there's a greater chance that the weather's going to be crappy when you're talking about Chicago or Boston or any of these cold cities. You have four teams in the American League West. You have the Toronto, you have Tampa Bay, you have Minnesota that has domes. Take advantage of them.
I mean, I think that's true to an extent, but I also think it kind of got old having the White Sox always open on the road. What was it, 10 straight years we opened on the road? And you got that occasion to have your fans open at home. Just hope the weather's not going to be bad. Because whether you open this week or next week, the weather's still going to be bad in Chicago. And why don't you just pray and have the rain gods pray that it rains later or something?
No, I do agree. The weather could be crappy here, in July. But I'm saying you have a better chance of the weather being nicer a week, 2 weeks from now, rather than the first night of the season, April 2nd.
Yeah, but it was kind of sweet. Although I was shocked they played the game. I mean, I left after the third inning, and because it just looked like it was going to be a long delay, and I came back, and I thought the game was over. I checked up on Sox Talk, and everyone was saying how the game's going to start in 10 minutes, and I'm thinking, holy crap, this is like 3 hours later. How the hell are they still going to play?
Yeah.
But I give them credit. They played, and it just kept raining. It wasn't like there was a big opening. I assumed when they were going to play that game, it meant that the rain was all pretty much gone, and it was just going to be clear skies the rest of the way.
I really didn't see much of the field after the rain delay, so I have no idea how the field looked. But once again, I'm not too far away from the park. There were puddles all over the place as far as the street goes, and you see grass. It was pretty bad in the street, so the field had to be in pretty bad condition, I would think.
It was puddly behind all the bases. I like that word, puddly.
Puddly. Is that a word?
Hey, this is the Sox Talk on the Air dictionary. I invent new words every day.
Okay, well, nextly, we're going to go into the actual rain delay. It came back. Mark Burley, he threw the first four innings. He looked pretty good outside of that one inning where he gave up the three runs. But they, Burley's going to have him plenty of starts, so we'll talk about Burley, as the season goes on. But Brandon McCarthy came in after the rain delay. Three scoreless innings. I didn't see him. All I could see is his box score. Did he look good?
He looked real good. I was let me put it this way. Put things in perspective. Spring training is all about panicking, worrying, going, oh my God, look at it. We can't win a game. But then you watch this game, and I was just sitting there going, man, we are a damn good ball club. And McCarthy came in. He looked like his old self, like he did last year. He was throwing his changeup, just fooling guys. His curveball threw it a few times. It looked real good. His velocity on his fastball was up maybe a mile or two, which was nice to see. And his command still isn't where he wants it to be, but it's a lot better than it was during spring training, and the Indians couldn't buy it off of him. It was nice.
There are two ways you could look at McCarthy as far as being in the bullpen. Some people may say that he might have to be a middle reliever, a late-inning guy, because their bullpen really doesn't have many guys for the back end of it. Or you could be the long reliever. The problem when you're a long reliever, though, is that you're going to get stuck playing in rain delays and when guys get knocked around. What I think they should do with McCarthy, looking at yesterday, is have him be a late inning guy who throws three innings. If a guy like Freddy Garcia pitches on Thursday or whenever he's scheduled to pitch next, and he only goes six innings, have McCarthy come in for the seventh, have him pitch the eighth, have him pitch the ninth if he's going good, and just let him be that type of reliever where he's still acting like a starter per se, where he's getting enough innings, but he's not going to be sitting in the bullpen for weeks at a time waiting for a blowout to happen or waiting for a pitcher to get knocked around or waiting for a rain delay.
I wouldn't be against that because the one thing, when McCarthy came in on the rain delay, it's almost like a start for him because he has all the time in the world to prepare for the game. And obviously it allowed him to get comfortable, and I think that's what Ozzie's going to have to do. Slowly ease him into the bullpen, get him comfortable. Don't put him in right in the thick of things with the bases loaded and nobody out where he's going to be in some jam.
Yeah, yeah.
Put him in to start innings and let him adjust to this whole role. And as the season goes on, start putting him in more pressure situations where he comes in with runners on. But at the same time, I like the idea of pitching him longer so you can keep his stamina there.
Yeah.
Because he is our guy. If someone goes down in that rotation, he is our guy that's going to have to come in and pitch.
Yeah, because when you look at Sunday, you look at yesterday, he pitched. Their next game is Tuesday. I'm not so sure he should be pitching on Tuesday. But if you could save him for a Wednesday, or I think that they play on Thursday, if you could have him come in Thursday or have him be ready for Thursday, just have him be your first reliever out of the bullpen. And if they have a three-run lead and he's got to finish out the final three innings of the game, do it. Who cares about the closer? And just go with him every 3-4 days as that long reliever who's going to come in the sixth, fifth, seventh inning, and just finish out the game. So I like to see him in that role. That way you give him a consistent amount of work, and you don't make him into one of those one-inning guys where you could maybe screw up his arm for next year when he should be starting.
I think that's an excellent point. And with that, we also got to see Matt Thornton come in, and I was pretty impressed with his arm. I can see why Ozzie and Tom Cooper are so high on him. I'm sure he's going to have games where Sox fans are just going to go nuts because he's not going to throw strikes and he's going to get hit around. But when you see him just blow a fastball by Travis Hafner like he did, it was impressive. I mean, I remember Marte facing Hafner late in the season last year, and that was obviously when Marte was really struggling. But it was nice to see Thornton come in and throw a decent amount of strikes. He still wasn't throwing a lot of strikes, but his fastball is good. He's popping it at 95 mile an hour, and he looks confident with his breaking balls. I think it's a slider he throws. It's like 83. It wasn't a hard slider by any means, and it doesn't have a lot of break, but it looks like it's a solid enough pitch where it can keep hitters off balance. And he's going to be a nice pickup, I think, with time.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen really Thornton enough to really give my opinion on it, but from what I see, I think it looks like he's going to have his struggles this year. I think the key for him, though, is going to be how Boone Logan pitches in that bullpen. If Boone Logan could be a decent lefty reliever along with Thornton, then I think it takes the pressure off of both of them because you know you have Cots after them, so those two, they could pretty much share that first lefty role.
I think that's pretty much true, and Logan was expected to pitch till the ninth inning. Ozzie was on and basically indicated that Logan was going to pitch today or yesterday, and Logan was up in the bullpen. I thought he was going to come in and finish get the last three outs, but it was nice to see Thornton. He faced lefties, he faced righties, and he got the job done.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to see Logan in the next game.
Yeah, and it's nice to just play the hot hand. He was out there, he was pitching effective, let him finish the game. Why bring in somebody else, especially with an Indians offense that if they wake up, they could put some runs on the board in a hurry. And, you know, even if you win the game, you don't want the momentum going to them for Tuesday's game. Now, Cliff Polite also pitched.
Yeah, and shockingly, like, when I talk about this bullpen, I always thought Polite, even though I think he's going to have a worse year than last year, and that's only because I don't think he can go anywhere but down because he was so fantastic last season.
Yeah.
I was really surprised to see him throw because all the other guys, their velocity seemed right where it was or a little higher, and then Polite was in, and he wasn't hitting more than 90 mile an hour. And the only pitch he was throwing real effectively was either his changeup or his I don't know if he throws a split finger, but I thought it was more of a changeup, but I had ESPN commentators calling it a split finger, so what do I know?
Well, he was always just more or less a fastball slider pitcher. He really never did much anything else.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. And he did not look good. He got hit hard. It was kind of disappointing to see. But as the game went on, as his inning or stint went on, he looked a little bit better, and he was getting guys to swing and miss. But early on, they were hitting him, and they were hitting him hard. And I'm not too concerned. Obviously, it's just one game, but I was kind of stunned to see his velocity so far down because I always remember him from last year being more in the mid-90s as opposed
That's what
to
I do remember
90
too.
mile an hour.
And I know there were times when he did drop down a little bit, but for the most part he was in that 90 range. But I think in spring training he was throwing it up there too. So maybe it was just the rain delay and him coming in at that time, and maybe just didn't feel particularly right today. Who knows? But you know, him, he's a huge part of that bullpen, so he's definitely going to have to pick up the speed a little bit more.
Yeah, with Hermanson down, we're going to need a lot out of Polite and Kotz, and obviously Bobby Jenks. And interestingly enough, Ozzy was on in, I think, the fifth inning or so in an interview with ESPN, and they asked about Jenks, and specifically he mentioned the fact that how disappointing Jenks was early in the season, but then he went on to talk about how the last few outings at spring training, he started to see the Bobby Jenks of old, and he seemed confident in the fact that Jenks was going to contribute and be what he was for the Sox, you know, down the stretch last season. And I thought that was nice to hear. It's just something to hear, but it's comforting at the same time. I mean, opening day in general, like I've already said once today, was just a comforting day because the White Sox played really good.
Yeah.
And when
we're
we come
get
back,
into that.
Yeah, we're going to go take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about this offense. And then we had some news on April Fool's Day of Jose Contreras' extension, but we feel opening day is more important than that.
We'll be right back.
A swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. This might go. It's a gunner.
That round's got a chance. That round is gone.
Holy Toledo. What a way to finish.
Major League Baseball, spring training, the World Baseball Classic. For the most interactive, opinionated, and in-depth baseball talk podcast on the web, plug in to Outsider Radio and Brandon Rossi.
What an embarrassment are the Devil Rays. They are seriously looking into dropping Devil from the name and calling the team just the Rays. There was a negative association with the term Devil Rays and Devil. Hold the train. That negative association is losing. So to fix that, you don't go change in the name. You don't go, oh, there's a quick fix. That'll be easy. I think the fix is, if the negative association is that you lose, you try to win.
It's baseball talk from the outside looking in. Major League Baseball talk you control on the web's premier sports podcast network. Outsider Radio on 360. The Pitch.
Welcome back to Sox Talk on the air. That last promo was Brandon Rossage on one of Mario's stations, 360 The Pitch. He does a lot of baseball shows. Yeah, I think he does four a week.
He's
it's a great
do four
show.
A week now with the season going on. So interesting show every morning.
And see, right there, that was my little trial run since the last time I did a promo. We had to do like four takes because I just don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to pubbing someone else's stuff. But somehow Mario let me do it again this time. And of course, as always, I'm going to promo my sites. You're listening to us through StockStock.com. We have a Chicago Bears site, TalkBears.com. We have TalkBulls.com and TalkBeehawks.com. And every one of these sites has original news and commentary. So it's a great place for fans to come by and check it out. And if you've been there and you're registered, tell your friends that are Bears, Bulls, or Sox, or Beehawk fans, and have them check it out because it's a pretty fun place to be. And now, with that, we're going to get back to talking about the White Sox, what you actually care about. And as impressive as our pitching staff was actually yesterday and seeing the back members of the bullpen actually succeed.
They scored 10 runs and 8 hits.
Yeah, and it was impressive. It was Ozzie ball at its best, and it was the offense looking really good. You had Pasetic hit the ball hard. He's probably our worst-looking player at the plate. But what was nice was seeing Jim Thomae. I mean, I got to see him a little bit in spring training, but
Towards the end, he was coming into his own.
Eight home runs in 7 days, and then his first at-bat with the Sox, he rips a mile-high fly ball at the center field.
Yeah.
Wasn't hit deep or anything. He missed it. And his second at-bat, he draws a walk. And I think people are going to realize what he brings that Carl Everett, is our normal DH, didn't bring is Jim Thomae has a really good eye. He's going to draw a lot of walks. He's going to strike out a lot.
And long at-bats, though. When he strikes out, it's going to be a long at-bat. He's not going to go down in three pitches. Long at-bats.
And then his second at-bat, he draws a walk. He ends up scoring a run. And, I mean, it was impressive. He basically fought off some pitches and took some close pitches. It was nice to see. It kind of reminded me more of Frank Thomas with that good eye.
Yeah.
And then his third at-bat, the Sox have taken a 4-3 lead. And the Indians have been trying to pitch him inside all game. First pitch, it's a fastball, and bam. he just turned on that thing, and he just ripped it, and I think it was like 438 feet, and on ESPN they happened to say that would have been, if it was hit last season, by it was would have been the farthest home run hit all season by a White Sox player, which is kind of funny because 438 feet, it's a bomb, but you would think with a team that hit over 200 home runs last year that you would have had a few guys where did it hit land? It farther.
Do you know where it landed?
Somewhere in right field.
Well,
in the bleachers.
Somewhere in right field. Jim told me it's a home run to right field, and the ball landed somewhere in right field.
It's a news flash for you. I have a GPS on those baseballs. I know exactly where they are. It landed probably in some fan's hand or in their beer or in their hat or something.
Wait, were there any fans left at that time?
The bleachers were pretty empty, but I think most of them that stayed, they kind of all moved down behind home. I mean, it was not crowded.
It was,
I mean,
you know,
I
what?
Wouldn't stay for 3 hours.
So
in
it
a rain
brought
delay.
Back memories of old Sox games.
Exactly, and the Sox felt comfortable. They just hammered the ball. And as good as Tomei was, it was nice to see Oguchi, who had an awful spring. He hit the ball hard. He had a clutch base hit early in the game. I think he knocked in the
– From the little I've seen of him, he looked like last year. His approach was like last year. He had that single up the middle. He was trying to go the other way. It's like spring training just didn't happen for him.
And I think what we forget is the Japanese ballplayers, or ornamentals, as some call them.
Does that some person actually listen to the show, though?
For his sake, I hope he doesn't. Because he's going to get made fun of more and more as the show goes on. But they have a different way of practicing. And, I mean, if you asked Taguchi whether he was worried during spring training, usually would just say, I'm working on things to better prepare for the actual start of the season. And if you remember last year, he didn't exactly have a good spring, and a lot of White Sox fans were worried, and some were thinking Willie Harris may take over.
And you remember that Guillen and just the Sox manager was saying he's getting used to Major League Baseball. He's getting used to it. And, it was a legit excuse because he is coming into a different country. He's looking at different types of pitchers who are throwing, you know, perhaps harder or softer or whatever. So it was an excuse. But then this spring when he was doing it again, I was concerned.
I think most of us were concerned. But if we can take one game and just base everything on one game, which, you know, obviously isn't really true, I would be pretty comfortable with him. And he really looked like his old – I mean, like you say, looked like his old self, to repeat things. And he was working the ball the other way. He was letting the pitches get deep on him and then kind of hitting it and using what he does best,
especially
which is going to right Sabathia. Field.
Sabathia is not – he throws hard. He's throwing in the mid-90s. So to see him – he was taking some rips at it where he was right on top of it. So to see him, you know, catch up to some of those good fastballs, good sign.
He did miss some more breaking balls, so he is still his usual self when it comes to that.
Yeah.
And I would expect teams to get a little smarter and start throwing him even more breaking balls.
But the perhaps a bigger surprise than him, a bigger surprise than Tomei, Brian Anderson.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was a lot really concerned early in spring training when he was looking basically as bad as he did last season with the White Sox.
And really the concerns just still stay there, you know, not after one game. But what do you get? He went 2-for-3, I believe.
And I don't know if you saw the double he hit. It went off Jason Michaels or Brett Michaels,
I did see
whatever
that.
His name is.
That was a shot.
That thing was rocketed.
Yeah, that ball was hit hard.
I mean, maybe he could have caught it if the conditions were better.
Yeah.
But I don't think it had really rained yet at that extent.
It was still a hard-hit ball nonetheless. It
was nice. He looked a lot more comfortable. He drew a walk in the game. He had a two-run single in the game where he went back up the middle. His swing looked a lot less herky-jerky than it did last season and for the first half of spring training. And he did start hitting the ball well in the second half of spring training. I think he started – it was about right around 300 by the end of spring training. So it'll be interesting to see how he can play defensively because he's not going to be Aaron Rowan in center field just yet.
No,
although the tools are there.
Yeah.
The tools are definitely there. And speaking of Rowan, I just want to point out that he's going to be there on Tuesday, which is kind of cool to see.
Yeah,
and Rowan has
Harris
been quoted
is going
as
to be there too. I think even Timo Perez. So there are going to be a few of the last year's players will be there, which would be nice.
Sweet, I'm going to be going crazy when Willie's up at the plate. Or, well, I wish he was back up at the plate. I liked Willie. People forget he won us that final game in the World Series with his pinch hit. But with all that dead spaces, I memorized, and I was just kind of thinking back of all the great moments of Willie Harris in White Sox uniform. I want to know when we're going to retire his number.
We'll have music playing then.
All right, that'll be a montage, and we can explain.
What type of music will Willie Harris like?
It's going to have to be rap talking about how great he is.
Okay.
And how much of a pimp he is.
I'm writing that down. Things to do.
All right. And I was going to say we could do a video montage, but then I realized it's radio.
You know what?
Play-by-play of that montage.
You fixed your hair up for TV today, didn't you?
No.
You're wearing a suit.
All right. I went to Armani, and I just said, dap me up. I need a great suit. And
dap me up.
Radio show.
Okay, well, before the opening day, really off the field on the business side of it, the White Sox, they locked up Jose Contreras to a 3-year deal worth, was it $29 million?
Yeah, it's $29 million. So it's pretty much right basically what John Garland got.
Am I the only one who didn't like it?
I thought it was April Fool's for a while. But the more I think about it, the more I do think it's a good value, because if Contreras pitches like he's capable of, even though he's probably 50 years old and not the 35 or 36 that's reported, he is an ace and he is worth more than $10 million a year. I just thought the timing of this was funny because he's only made like one start, maybe two. He had one spring training major league start since coming back from his injury. And I'm kind of looking at this as a blessing because I don't think the White Sox would have signed him if they thought there were going to be lingering effects from this injury. And obviously anything can happen.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see him get signed now after this injury because it makes me feel at least a little bit better that they must not think it's serious.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, they better hope that he's going to be able to continue to throw a sidearm because that's when he's at his best. And his last start, he did walk, I think all four of his walks came in that last outing.
Yeah. I like the aggressiveness of the move. I think his potential, I agree with you, I think his potential is very high, and if he reaches that potential, he's worth the money. My problem is that you have John Garland, who I've always been a big fan of, and you have Jose Contreras, two guys who had a lot of potential and finally came through last year. John Garland more or less the first half and then a little bit of the second half, and Jose Contreras just the second half. They come through, have their big years, and then you're going to give both of them good chunks of money. I don't understand it. I could see giving them one, but giving both of them a lot of money, that seems like a big risk to me, especially when you have Brandon McCarthy ready to come in next year.
That's going to be what's interesting. It's going to be seeing what happens to this club next year because, as you mentioned, Burley signed through 2006, and we have a team option for 07 for him. Garcia's through 07, Vasquez is through 07, Garland's through 08, and Contreras is through 2009 now.
Or eight.
So we're I was gonna say 2008. What I'm reading is
An extension or is it in addition to the contract that he's in this year?
Well, it was an extension, right?
I believe so. So you would be right in saying 2009. I don't know if they maybe
was it a 3-year deal.
Well, it was a 3-year deal, but if it comes in after this year, then it's 2007, 2008, 2009. But if it's including this year, but I'm thinking it comes in after next year.
Well, he's going to be pretty old when that contract ends. So we're going to have to hope he can be like Roger Clemens or even Satchel Paige and throw 60.
Well, you know, the one thing is he might be a guy you could eventually put into the bullpen and then might be able to add a year or two, you know, to his career. And especially as hard as he throws, he might be a decent reliever. And even though you probably will be overpaying him for what you're getting now, it may be worth it in the end.
Well, the way I see it, if he pitches like he did the second half of last season, $10 million a year.
Oh, he's worth it.
Not even $10 million a year. That's a bargain.
Yes.
Look at what A.J. Burnett got, and A.J. Burnett's going to – your favorite guy is going to be missing like the first part of the season with elbow injury now or arm injury.
Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome?
You called it. You called it.
Awesome.
That's why you're GM of the year.
Yes, I am. Now, McCarthy has to be in this rotation next year. Do you see they have to trade somebody? I'm thinking one of these guys, whether it's a Garcia or a Contreras or a Vasquez, one of these guys have to be dealt this next offseason, if not this season.
Well, you got to remember Contreras and Garland both have no trade clauses, and they really wanted Vasquez, so I don't think he's going to be gone. I think we got our 5-man staff through the season. Ken Williams has said that everything's going to change next offseason. And next spring training, it's going to be a battle. McCarthy's going to be part of it. It's going to be more of a competition.
And then maybe they take whoever isn't going to make it and then put him on the market?
That would be my guess, but I think you may have came up with their plan B, and that's having Jose Contreras as our stud closer and not Bobby Jenks. I've long said I don't know how long Bobby Jenks is going to be able to last as a closer because I don't think he's in the best physical shape, and I don't think he works hard enough. And with all his arm injuries that he's had in the past, I don't think you can necessarily count on him having a long career, considering he still puts a lot of pressure on his elbow.
I would agree.
When he throws that breaking ball.
I would agree.
So, if the White Sox do well, I don't think we're going to have any guys that we're going to have to give big contracts next year to. So I could definitely see them keeping all six guys with McCarthy sliding into the rotation and Contreras becoming our closer.
Well, I think that's something that they would probably have to talk about when they did this contract. I'm sure Contreras would, you know, if he's you know willing to go to the bullpen, I'm sure they would have had to discuss that before.
And speaking of Contreras, it's kind of interesting that he actually signed this contract because he was asking for $12 or $13 million a year, and all of a sudden he dropped his asking price quite a bit, and I was kind of surprised, and I'm almost wondering if when he had his arm hurt just a little bit in spring training, it was that wake-up call that I better just sign this deal now and know that I'm going to be, you know, assured and guaranteed that I'm going to have pretty good money for the rest of my – basically, this is going to be his final contract.
And I believe I saw a quote from Williams, I believe I saw this, where – this is basically the deal they had on the table from the get-go.
Yeah, Williams told both Garland and Contreras they're going to have basically the same deal on the table. Whoever's first can sign it, and I think all of us assumed that he pulled the other deal off the table, but with Ken Williams, you can never really assume anything.
No, you can't.
In reality, it is nice. I mean, they showed all the innings. If you get all the innings pitched that these guys threw last year, and I don't know if we're going to. I think Ozzie's going to try to rest these guys a bit more.
Well, it all depends how the bullpen holds up, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I think the bullpen is so key, because if this bullpen doesn't hold up, it's going to put a lot of pressure on their rotation, which means come playoff time, they might be too worn out to do anything.
But at the same time, we got to remember that with this rotation usually going 6.5, 7 innings, pretty much every starter is going to do that or average right near that. We don't have to use those fringe guys quite as much. We can just rely more on the Neil Cotts, the Cliff Polites, the Bobby Jenks, eventually the Brandon McCarthys of the group, and not put quite as much pressure on the Matt Thorntons and the Boone Logans until they prove themselves and prove that they're ready to have that type of pressure. So we're going to be able to ease those guys in thanks to having five guys that last year threw over 1,100 innings. I don't think there's ever been a starting rotation, at least not in the recent change where teams have started to focus and go to the relievers more, that threw 1,100 innings between their starters.
I mean, I think going into last year, the Sox probably had, with Hernandez, they probably had four guys who were going to throw a considerable amount of innings.
And now we got rid of Hernandez, who's once again on the fritz with injuries. And we got a guy that Javier Vasquez, everyone knows he's got a good arm. Everyone knows he has good stuff. But regardless of how his numbers have been, and they have not been stellar since the second half of his Yankees debut, he's going to throw you 200-plus innings. Garland's going to throw you 200-plus innings. Burley gives you 220 innings. Garcia gives you 200 innings, even though I always think Garcia wears down at the end of the year. And Contreras, if he can stay healthy, is going to give us 200 innings. And then you have McCarthy, who I think if he was in our rotation today, would give us 200 innings and 15 to 17 wins, because I think he's that good.
I would agree. I would agree, and it's nice to have that luxury. So, okay, well, I think that's it for this week. What did you say?
Yeah, I think it was our shorter show. We both had predictions before the show started. Who was right, Mario? I said 36 minutes, like 24 seconds. I got specific.
34:40. 34:42. It just keeps going up. So you were closer. I was closer.
We got to wait another minute, and then I'll be better off.
Yeah, I don't think the listener wants to wait another minute. I think they're already shutting off right now.
Just say specific for him.
Specific. See, wow, if I focus on it, I could say it right. If not... I'm talking about time zones.
That made no sense to me. What? So I think we're going to end it with you saying a bad joke instead of me for once. Thanks for listening to us, and hopefully you'll check us out again next week. And as always, if you have any feedback for us or comments, or if you have any questions you want us to answer...
Did you get the time zones?
No. It's obviously an inside joke about when we were in Arizona. But now that you interrupted me, email address is contact.
What's the ocean by you?
Futuresox.com.
What's the ocean?
The Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, that's what I usually say when I try to say this specific.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He calls it Pacific.
There you go. The time zones. Damn.
You explained it to me. All right. All right. I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing us yap.
The slow mind of Jason Gage. You can get it every week right here at SoxSock.com.
And just check out my autobiography that'll come out in a few years. It's called I Can't Read.
All right, well, where can they email us again?
Contact@futuresox.com, or you can email Mario@idontcare.com.
Idontcare.com. You know someone's buying that one, though.
Hey, it's worth lots of money.
All right, well, thanks. We will be back next week. We should be back, unless you decide to do a show on by your own, you know, by yourself.
I get lonely sometimes. I'm so lonely. Just so lonely.
See you next week.